It's one of the highlights of opening a new Reduced Shakespeare Company show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Reviewing the Reviews.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 491, Reviewing the Reviews, Long Lost Shakes Edition.
We have just closed our three and a half week world premiere run of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Theater. This was the very first review that came out. Whatever you're doing, stop now. Run, do not walk. Run to Folger Theater for the glorious ray of sunshine that is William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged.
And we know what you're thinking. We wrote that.
Yes.
Actually, we didn't. We would have, but we didn't.
And it was all downhill from there.
Yeah.
No, it was actually, that was a great thing to wake up to.
That was only the second time I've been called a glorious ray of sunshine.
So. Really? What was the first time?
I'll tell you about that one later. Yeah.
Got it. And that was, of course, from the all-powerful DC Metro. Which,
you know, DC Metro is the New York Times of DC Metro.
Yeah. It certainly is. One of the great things about being here at the Fold, I mean, we've spent so many years at the Kennedy Center, but at the Kennedy Center, we're one of a half a dozen shows going on at any one time. And so we're lucky to get a number of reviews. But here at the Folger, we're the only thing happening, the only show opening at this time. And also, we were opening during the big, big 400th anniversary celebrations. So there's just been a ton of media and press, but that was the first one that came out, and it was great. The show is a loving, self-deprecating riff on Shakespeare's complete canon. RSC clearly love and admire the Bard, and this admiration for him shines throughout the entire show. But then it says, every Shakespeare trope is here, cross-dressing very, very, very dirty jokes, parentheses, this one is not for kids.
And so half the reviews say, this show isn't for kids, don't bring your kids. And then we get some that said, I brought my two 10-year-olds, and they were hysterical from the beginning. Great show for kids.
Well, yes.
I guess it depends on the 10-year-olds.
And
if they were born on a leap year, 10 is a good year.
And it depends on the parents. Because one of the very last reviews we got, just a couple of days ago, was from a blog called thehillishome.com, meaning Capitol Hill, here where the Folger is located in D.C. She starts her review by saying, going to the Folger to see a play is magic, yada, yada, yada. Let's start that thought again. Going to the Folger with two 10-year-olds to see 90 minutes where you can barely breathe, you're laughing so hard, that's where the true magic is. Magic is seeing two young boys excited to take in the beautiful Folger stage and feeling like grown-ups, laughing so hard they clutch their bellies while the performers cavort, gallivant, rhapsodize, eulogize, and flatulize loudly on stage. That covers the gamut of what we do. The great thing was they were all like that, but I guess this is probably true in many places. There's only one paper that counts. Right?
That's right. The New York Times. And it's not here in Washington. No, you mean the Washington Post.
I mean the Washington Post, which is the New York Times of the Washington Post.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. Austin's wife, Dee, was in the audience the night the Post critic was there, and she seemed to be not particularly happy to be there, and Dee was really worried it was going to be a bad review, but she noted that the critic was sitting next to three guys who were in absolute hysterics throughout the show.
All of whom had press packs with them, too, so they were clearly critics.
Yeah, so we're kind of going, I wonder how this review is going to go. And I don't know, she spent a lot of time describing the show. It's like, I almost felt like maybe she felt bad that she didn't like it, so she didn't want to say anything too bad. But she gave us one or two really good quotes.
Yeah, she did. I mean, she said the big quote I think that they used in the advertising was, breathlessly irreverent and pun-filled romp. That's the quote. That's the latest offering from the RSC. She also said, the lickety-split pacing, cheerfully impudent tone, and breezy elusiveness may put some audience members in mind of such Reduced Shakespeare Company productions as The Complete History of America Bridge and The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged. But this show is best suited to Shakespeare aficionados, which read to me as if, they're doing Shakespeare again. You know, it felt a little grudging. And that's another thing that different critics have seized on. This production is is best suited for Shakespeare aficionados, or this production is for everybody, like those 10-year-olds who don't know they're Shakespeare.
Well, I get the feeling the people who say it's only for Shakespeare aficionados are saying, like, well, I know a lot about Shakespeare, so I enjoyed it, but I think most people are not as bright as I am.
Yes, I think you're
that's
right.
That's self-affirming thing. You know, but a lot of them say, even if you're not a Shakespeare aficionado, that you will appreciate the show, and I think that's absolutely correct, especially just from the feedback we're getting after the show. So
that's the thing, is that we go out to the lobby as always, and we, you know, sign autographs and whatever, and then you get to see how people really feel. This, you know, I haven't seen anybody walk past us in an angry huff. That's been nice. That's been encouraging.
And I mean, even if you're a Shakespeare aficionado, there's jokes in there that aren't in there for you, and you might not catch them. Like, there's some pop culture references that maybe only an 8-year-old would understand, and when they get it, that's awesome.
So, Niner, yeah. You've got 99 problems, and but the witch ain't one, I think is a reference that not a lot of older subscribers probably get.
Here's one of my favorite reviews from Brightest Young Things.
Oh, I know where this is going.
This plays a riot for anyone with a generous sense of humor. Mm. Unfortunately, this critic doesn't seem to have one.
I know.
The reduced Shakespeare company swings for comedic fences, but I prefer my Shakespeare to not be reduced or abridged. Some of the slapstick humor is definitely enjoyable, and the audience definitely has a lot of fun. Although they're talented, seasoned veterans, this piece misses the mark for me with its lack of cohesion and coherence.
Well, that's just so funny right there. Like, yeah. Everybody liked it, but I didn't.
Yes.
So therefore, it lacks cohesion. Well, just because you didn't like it doesn't mean it lacks cohesion.
I think the coolest review came from the Catholic University student paper, The Tower.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wrote a review in verse of the show.
Right?
Yeah, rhyming verse. Yeah.
I mean, here's a little bit of it. I'm not going to do it justice. Spencer Tichner and Martin create a show that's so funny, and get this, it's great. That they add in some humor for the local crowd. It was moments like that when it really got loud. With cheers and applause, lots of giggling too, and outright guffaws. Oh gosh, who knew?
That's great.
And it went on for like on and on like that.
Yeah. Well, and the other student newspaper that reviewed us was the Georgetown Voice.
Oh, right.
And that guy really hated it, but was so unclear. This is what's great about reviewing the reviews. His review lacked clarity about what he didn't like about it.
Yeah, here's a funny one from an online thing called Interludes, where they liked our show and they recommend. I mean, it's recommended, but they're complaining about there's so much parody nowadays.
Mm, yeah.
You know, people making fun of things that exist rather than creating new things, and that bothered them, that we're part of that sort of
a trend.
A trend, which is so funny because we just did a tour of the Folger vaults this week, and they were pointing out how that sort of thing has been going on as long as performance has existed.
We talked about that last week in the podcast with Richard Shook, talking about the long hundreds of year history of Shakespeare parody.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, they say, but is this a healthy trend in commercial theater? I beg to play devil's advocate and question the artistic value of these parodies, however witty the material and well-performed they may be.
Well, I think that's a legitimate point, and my response to that is...
Hi, this is Mia Gosling, creator of Shakespeare webcomic Good Tickle Brain, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week we put William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, to bed until the summer, when we'll take it to Boone, North Carolina in July, and then the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August for its European premiere. But in the next 2 weeks of May 2016, we take the complete history of comedy Abridged to Saratoga, Rancho Cucamonga, and Poway, California, Gillette, Wyoming, Reston, Virginia, and Somerville, New Jersey. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
I like how some of the reviews describe us personally. Those are what I found a lot of joy in. So this review from Talkin' Broadway, mentions Reed Martin as the slim, bald one.
Ooh.
Austin Tishner as the gray-haired one.
What the?
And Teddy Spencer as the blonde one, which I like to say I'm more than just a full head of blonde hair. I feel objectified.
I do. I think we've been reduced to our physical components.
Oh, saying that, that might be a good thing. And in this one, this was the one that made me LOL, made me lol, was talking about Ezra Martin. Although he might not have the prettiest voice for Shakespeare, he certainly has the fluidity. More importantly, for this accessible adventure, he manages to suggest a guy who was grilling hamburgers a minute ago before deciding to join the dramatic fray.
Hey, how do you guys want yours? You want a medium rare or what?
Grilled onions, please.
All right.
Yeah, but not eating the hamburgers because you're slim.
There you go.
Just grilling them, you know. Every man just grilling the burgers. It's awesome. Yeah.
But there's been a ton of great quotes.
Yeah.
And that's really helpful. And not the kind of quotes where you have to lift quotes from bad reviews. You know, Sometimes there's a good quote and a bad review. But there was one, a cauldron full of belly laughs, or nothing is holy in the REC production. That is the true joy of it. Nothing is above being skewered or taken to task or lightly humiliated. A fast-moving, no-make-that-dizzying pastework of comic artistry. It's vaudeville for our times. And just on and on like that. And, you know, those are great.
Well, you always hear about actors, and I've now heard two artistic directors say, well, I don't read reviews. And that's fine. That's great. I envy their ability to be above it all. Mm-hmm. We can't be above it all. We have to sell this thing. We have to sell Long Lost Shakespeare.
Yeah, I mean, I know some actors don't, or they say they don't, because they feel like it'll affect the performance. And I get that. I'm sure some of them don't. But as a writer, director, producer, what I'd leave out, actor, I feel like I need to know what everybody else is saying. You know, here's one thing that several of the early reviews said, and we took to heart, is they said it felt a little long, despite a rave review. We got that three or four times.
Yeah.
And by the second week, we'd probably trim
five to seven minutes
off it. And it's just much tighter. And so
reviews can be helpful. Absolute criticisms can be helpful.
Very, very much so.
Well, and also, I don't get it in my... I mean, sometimes I get in my head about a review because whatever, they'll say something funny and then I'll think about it, or they'll say, oh, this is too inside baseball, and then the whole next performance I'll be going, wait, was that inside baseball? No, I guess, was that? But what happens to me, though, is like I'll screw up a punchline, and as I did a couple nights ago, and it got a better laugh. And then so the actor in me is going, oh, damn it, I've screwed up the punchline. The playwright director in me is going, can the actor make that mistake every night and get that laugh? And the actor hasn't been able to do it because I don't feel comfortable yet with this show.
I'm fine. I mean, my tendency is always to keep the pace up and try to get the laughs quickly. In the last couple of nights, I found a couple of things. There's a scene with Lady Macbeth, an out damn spot joke, where it wasn't really working, and I said, well, maybe I'm not really committing to this and playing it honestly. And suddenly it's working. But, play it honestly and it works. Go figure.
Well, that's an interesting... Gosh, I've never tried that. But that's another criticism that we've had, not from critics, but several friends of ours have seen the show. The associate producing director here, Beth Emelson, told us you're sort of racing to the rhymes. You can go too fast. And the irony of going too fast in a verse play is that it seems like it's going slowly. Mm-hmm. Somehow. So we need to kind of slow down and let the language land. And I'm always conscious of what Mark Rylance has said, the great Shakespearean actor from England, who says, you know, the way we do Shakespeare now is like Shakespeare in slow motion because we take it so slowly. So I'm conscious of that. But I do think the criticisms are right. If you talk the verse too swiftly, it doesn't land, and people get frustrated, and it feels slower than it's actually going.
Yeah, I mean, going fast, but I mean, here we are towards the end of the third week of the run. I'm finding ways to make points land, and I'm not even sure it's slowing it down. I mean, I'm aware not to try to go too fast, but just saying, oh, here's the contrast. You know, the language is rich. Like 60% of it is probably Shakespearean language that we've mashed together from various places. Yeah. So the language is really rich, and I think this is going to go on for a long time, discovering new ways to say this in ways that it lands with. Sometimes it's slowing it down. Sometimes it's just finding the right word to emphasize. It's a great challenge.
And I think a lot of it, too, is just getting more and more and more comfortable with the text, right, where you can take the time or maybe not even really slow it down, but use the language more and not be as worried about, wait, what's the next thing I have to do? Where do I go after this? What do I have to do after this? Where you can really be in those moments and embody them more, which is a lot of that. Yeah.
Well, and again, the great thing about being here at the Folger in D.C. is that we have, like, I think literally dozens, like at least two dozen great reviews to choose from, that one from the Georgetown Voice that didn't care for it and a couple of others that were kind of sort of meh. But like last summer when we did it at Notre Dame Shakespeare Festival, they have one reviewer. Yeah. And that guy liked it, but kind of shrugged and then made the ridiculous criticism of, well, and some of those jokes are going to date. Well, no shit, they're going to date. You know, we'll change them. We'll update them. You know, that's a thing that happens in
comedy.
Comedy
is current. It's right now,
yes,
right?
In the life of a script.
Yeah.
You know, but he judged it like it as a critique, like, oh, boy, that play's going to date really quickly. No, you change it. You update it.
Yeah, exactly. No, we got... Yeah, one review in Notre Dame wasn't too good. We got a couple reviews in that, and they were fine. And also, in fairness, the show wasn't as refined yet.
No.
You know, but it's great to get so many opinions, and if you get a bad one, you can read it and say, well, that's not the majority opinion. And frankly, if everybody likes it, you're probably not doing it right.
Right, right. Well, and it's good to hear. Yeah, it's definitely good to hear multiple opinions. The other great, really gratifying thing is that we knew that the Shakespeare nerds were going to like it. We knew that there's probably never going to be a savvier Shakespeare audience than the people we're getting here at the Folger. But will it play to other people? And here's another: the DC Metro reviewed us twice, but with two different people. And he said, there's no need to brush up your Shakespeare to enjoy William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged. The production is truly rowdy, whip-smart, ride through all one could even want to know about the Bard's works. And that was very encouraging. It's a fast-moving, no-make-that-dizzying-paced work of comic artistry, vaudeville for our times.
Well, and what I'm looking for, our next big run is going to be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August. And I'm encouraged that we've had a number of English people or UK-based people come see the show and make it a point to stop in the lobby and said, when are you going to bring it to the UK?
Yeah.
And so that's also a very savvy theater-going audience. So it'll be very interesting to see how it plays there. We're going to run there for 3.5 weeks in August.
Yeah, that's going to be very fun. Teddy, final thoughts?
I'm looking forward to going to Scotland and drinking a pint in Scotland, after a show. Our shows are at 4:40, right? So it's a great time.
We're down at 6.
Wonderful. Perfect.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your review via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks on our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, 10 Thumbs Up Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Marty Walker. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Mia Gosling, creator of the Shakespearean webcomic Good Tickle Brain. Check out her website, goodticklebrain.com, and stay tuned because we'll hear a conversation with Mia on the podcast in a few weeks. Thanks also to our Folger actor housing housemate Akeem Davis, who sat watching basketball while we recorded this. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 491, 1473rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Love it. Never heard people lie so much. Love it.
What? No, 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 no.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.